Indie Nation listeners, Lumpy is asking for a handout so somebody can have a hand put on. Well, you can click on the Give Michelle a Hand tab at IndieNation.fm or go to giveforward.com/givemichelleahand and see if you can help us out. Either spread the word, put the widget on your website, or maybe donate. However, we'd love to get this amputee a hand. Indie Nation listeners, I am at the Indie Gathering, the 15th annual such event.
Huge.
Big. Way over the top.
Independent Film Festival. And with me is...
Rich Yarber from TwistedSpine.com Productions.
William Alexander of Traveling Light Productions.
Brian Lawler, I'm with Shackstar Studios.
Crazy D from Crazy D's Music Palace TV and Film.
Joanne Harris.
Joel Langer, I'm an actor.
Hi, I'm Noah Cooper. I'm a writer-director.
Chrissy Gay.
Bob Fadley.
Nan Slocum from Lansing, Michigan. Production manager.
Ed Messina.
Hi, I'm Georgie.
Danny Ryan, and I'm a film score composer.
Taylor Chmerky, writer, director, cinematographer, and editor.
William McGrath.
Hi, I'm Alan Clay. I come from New Zealand.
Hi, I'm Stuart Fulljames. I'm art director for Butterfly Crush, here from New Zealand.
The Blurry Dude.
Hi, my name is Mitchell Mack.
And I'm Brendan Potter.
Ninja Zombies. Ninja Zombies. Ninja Zombies. Ninja Zombies.
And the winners are...
Indie Nation listeners, Lumpy still at the Indie Gathering in Westlake, Ohio at the Holiday Inn, which is booked solid. You can hear a lot of hustle and bustle in the background. Really can't avoid it. Very difficult to find a quiet spot in this hotel. This is a huge indie film festival. Three screenings, seminars going on, and I'm just going to let my guests introduce themselves, and we'll go with the lady first.
Nan Slocum from Lansing, Michigan.
And what was your role?
Production manager for the film Lily's Mom.
And sir, you are?
Ed Messina, M-E-S-S-I-N-A. And I was the writer, director, producer, everything else.
Have either of you attended an indie gathering before?
No, this is our first.
I've been to others, but not, this is our first, my first full-length feature drama.
So this is your first full-length feature film?
It's feature. I've done documentaries and tons of educational films and a lot of shorts, but this is my first full-length drama feature, which is exciting for me.
And what have you done in the past, ma'am?
Well, I have been both on stage and in film. I've been an extra in some of the major motion pictures that have been made in Michigan. They're going to be released in the fall of this year, of 2011. And also worked on an independent video production for a community mental health board. Done some voiceover. Just a little bit of everything. Set design, costuming, you name it.
How long have you been in the film industry?
Film for probably about 5 years now.
And you, sir?
About 1969.
I was 4 years old.
I wasn't even born yet, but I was there. No, in 69, I started shooting 16 in Europe. I made a lot of shorts in France, and days of 16mm, black and white reversal, and dubbing it onto video for sound. It was primitive, so we loved the new technologies, needless to say.
We'll get to that in a moment. Now, what I always like to ask everybody, when you were doing this, now you've done documentaries, you've done shorts, you said this is your full length. Which do you prefer to do after doing a full length versus a short?
Well, it's directly proportional to the amount of sweat and blood and crying. I think the high is going to be much greater when we show this full length later tonight. It's a lot of work. It was 3 years in the edit. So a short takes a lot less time. And the educational films, usually I'd get them done within a 6-month block of time. I could make a 2-hour educational piece less than half a year. But this was a work of art and a work of love. So nothing was good enough. And I had to keep redoing it until I got it right in the edit. The acting was beautiful.
And you've done a lot of various things in your acting career, you said, including theater, film, voiceover. What aspect do you think is the most challenging for you as an actress?
Well, theater, live theater. You never know what's going to happen. And invariably something happens different every single performance, and you kind of push through it. So.
Yeah, and if you got a guy like me running lights or sound, something will happen. I guarantee it. We'll sneak it in.
Well, with the film industry, you can always do it over. which is nice. So you can cut it and you can run it as many times as you want to, and you don't have that opportunity on stage.
Yes, this is true. And then somebody can, like I said, sneak something in. Not that we would ever do that as sound guys or light guys. Have you had that happen to you?
Not on purpose. Not on purpose. Our staff has been pretty reliable, and they don't mess with us when we're trying to perform.
When we did high school theater, and I think up until the day the high school theater teacher retired, it was a running prank tradition that the sound or light people were going to do something on the last night. And it could have been a prank against the director, but and you know what? Every night, the last night, every year, the last night would sell out because of that. Every student in the school would be there. The parents would come the first few nights because of that. But it was actually a tradition of my high school. How about you, sir? Going to, you know, you're talking about the short, the documentary, they do differ. What's the most challenging type of film or type of production for you to do?
Well, the most painful thing I ever did was I was asked, this was back in France, back about 1971, I guess. A friend of mine was doing Noel Coward, who was directing and producing a Noel Coward slate with French actors in English for the French audience. And he got deported 2 weeks before the opening, so he asked me to take over the final rehearsals and the directing of it. And that was real nice, but you mentioned lighting. There's a scene within Hay Fever by Noel Coward where the stage lights go down, a spot comes up, and the character says, this is a play that must be played to the end or something. Anyway, the lights never went on, and the theater was dark for a long time, and people were leaving. And that's my worst moment. And we closed the play down. It was supposed to run 2 weeks. We just shut it. That was bad. But otherwise, no, shooting a film, documentaries are easy because you take what you have and there's no excuse for bad sound. But, you know, you could do it. But when you're shooting feature, people, they expect good lighting and good sound, especially good sound. That's the challenge. And you're watching it. You're hoping everybody's watching the details, but you're hoping the continuity isn't bad. Of course, when you edit, you find these things, but you fix them. And that's the beauty of our technology.
And you, I told you I would come back to it. You just mentioned it again, technology, the big T word. That's one thing. Yeah, digital, you said that's great. I remember Super 8 and working with that. When I first learned about audio recording, editing involved actually cutting quarter-inch reel-to-reel tape, or if you were really high-tech, you had 1-inch. And I actually remember that. So, yeah, in that aspect, it's great. Now, there was something else that Al Gore is often wrongly attributed to creating it that happened about 1997, and it's also created kind of a rift in the music industry and the motion picture industry, that being this thing called the Internet. Some people say, oh, geez, it's the worst thing. It's a haven for piracy. It's such a negative thing. And then there's artists like Jonathan Colton who actually said, Madonna can worry about piracy, I'll worry about obscurity. What's your take on the Internet? We'll start with the lady as an actress. Do you think it's impacted you positively, negatively, or not at all?
Positively, absolutely. I think it's a wonderful mechanism. You can reach so many people so fast in so many different media. It's definitely going to prove its worth, and I think it's going to continue to grow, and, you know, who knows where it's going to go. I mean, from where we came to where we are now, I can't imagine what's still coming. However, I'm sure it's going to still advance and get better, and, you know, I don't know. It's anybody's guess.
Okay, and you, sir, from a producer, director, screenwriter, documentary perspective, is this going to destroy it overnight? Or?
No, it's going to help it. It's going to make it better and better. Personalized video is here. We've been working on, we just got a patent about less than a year ago on a type of video that we can use which interacts with the viewer, where the video will present itself based on your personality, your age, your demographics, and it'll assemble it for you, the watcher, and it's called FlowBase. It's a language we just got, patented. That, I think, will increase the artistry of filmmaking, because we're going to be able to go directly to the heart of the viewer. And this is, no one's doing this yet, but we are.
One more question that I always ask people I'm interviewing. You know, you've been in the industry, you've been around it. We'll again start with the lady. If somebody had decided they wanted to try to be an actor, an actress, based on your experience, School of Hard Knocks, your education, your knowledge, what would you suggest to them?
Well, there are a number of local theater groups in the Lansing area, and I have already provided mailing group information to several of coworkers that I have in my regular job, and definitely tell them to jump in, get involved, you know, behind or in front of the screen, whichever. It's a lot of fun. It's a short-term commitment. You can learn a lot. You make some fantastic friends that you have for years and years by doing this type of thing, because there is a lot of sweat and a lot of hard work that goes into it, but it's all worth it. It's, you know, it's a source of entertainment for people that don't have hobbies. They can't understand how we can put in so many hours doing this, but you just gain this passion to continue to do more in the industry and expand from one type of media to another, and I've just thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think the enthusiasm comes through.
Okay, and you, sir, if they wanted to get in your line of work, what would you suggest?
Well, you have to be crazy, but then beyond that, you have to just do it. I mean, if you have a great screenplay that you want to make into a movie, nobody's going to make that into a movie but you. So then you just get a bunch of people that want to work with you and get your hands on some equipment, and if you're just starting out, you beg, borrow, and steal some equipment, and you get people to work for you, and you make it. That's the only way. You can go from zero to director by making a movie, and anybody can make a movie. Just not everybody can make a good movie, but it's a good start. If you want to really work in the industry, you got to move to a coast. If you don't move to a coast, you're probably not going to get in the more visible. But we're independent here. The indie people aren't like other people. Like, I was at a meeting one time with Ken Burns, the really fine documentary maker, and somebody once said to him, "Gee, Ken, now that you've really made it big in documentaries, you're moving on to Hollywood now." And he went, "No, it would be a disservice to everything I've ever done, because it would mean that what I've done is garbage, and I'm moving on to something else." I think that's how a lot of indie filmmakers are. A lot of indie people are wannabes, and they want to get that fancy movie that all of a sudden makes a lot of money and gets the eyes of the people in Hollywood. But I think most indie people are passionate, and they would do it no matter what. It's not even because they want to do it. They have to do it.
Okay, and again, where would they find your company, your productions? On the internet. We're an internet-based radio station. That's one of the things that we always do is the attribution.
Okay, well, on the Internet Movie Database, the IMDb, if they look under Lily's Mom, that's the easiest way to remember. Instead of my name, it's harder to remember Edmund Messina on the IMDb. But we're both on the IMDb, and if they listen, Lily's Mom, Lily apostrophe S, Mom, and that's where our film's listed. But all of our cast and crew are all linked in on there. That's the way to find us, I reckon.
Okay, and do you have a webpage as an actress, or do you have a webpage as a producer?
We do. IVTProductions.com. IVT means Interactive Video Technology, so IVTProductions.com is our website.
Okay, and as usual, listeners, there will be clickable links in the show notes, and I'd like to thank you both for your time.
I love this world.
Indie Nation listeners, you've been listening to a series of interviews from the 2011 Indie Gathering. You can find out more about the spectacular annual film festival at theindiegathering.com. Special thanks to Ray Such and Christina Michelle for putting together such a wonderful event. And if you're an actor, actress, producer, director, writer, or have anything remotely to do with film or theater, and you don't catch this event, well, I'll let Ray tell you what it's about.
Whether you're a producer, director, film scorer, actor, stunt people, writer, your life can change with just networking. If you're an actor and stunt person and you just go to auditions, you're going to be limited. It's like going to the lotto. You set your own world alive when you network.
Special thanks to Gavin Salkeld of SalkeldMusic.com for providing me with the background music for the intro and the outro. And again, you should check out this event, the Indie Gathering. You can find out more about the upcoming 2012, which will be the 16th annual, at theindiegathering.com. And if you don't decide to attend it and you're in film or theater, you're making a big mistake, and we're going to let the Russian fortune teller portrayed by Carissa Gay tell you what she sees for your future. Thank you for listening, downloading, and see you there next year.
I don't see a future. Nothing easier.
Lexi, come back here. I goofed. Yeah, well, how was he going to give the bigger ones to the next categories?
Oh. Oh, do you want
that? Give me that.
Hey!
Indy Nation listeners, Lumpy is still at the Indy
Nation. Whoa, what did I do here? Where'd my game go?
Yeah, it's always a plus if you talk into the microphone that you actually have on.
That's a wrap, folks. Thank you for all coming.
There's good news for your earbuds. The best indie music. Indy Nation.